the Egyptians chasing after the Jews. And Pasuk Yud begins with the language Ufaro Hikriv. And it's a little bit unusual language. One might think it should have said Karav. Some commentaries explain that this means he pushed himself to go faster. In the Medrash, Shmos Rabbah understands that it means that he brought the Jews closer in the sense that he pushed them to do tshuva with his creation of a crisis situation for them. And the language here of Hine Mitzrayim Noseach Rehem. So here, as Rashi notes, this is a singular language. And he uses a phrase that seems very familiar, Kalev Echad Be'ish Echad, which seems to evoke what was said about the Jewish people at Har Sinai as a tremendous praise of them. But the Pachar Yitzchak Rafutner points out in his Sichos to Pesach that this is actually the reverse, and that the Jews were described Ki'ish Echad Be'lev Echad, and here it's the other way around. They're described Kalev Echad Be'ish Echad, and the difference is that what the Jews were identified with is a unity, that they acted as one person, and therefore it was as if they had one heart. But here it's the opposite, because it refers to the action of Rishayim, which is not really based on actual unity. It's because they have a common purpose, they have a common enemy, because they are Belev Echad, so then they act Ki'ish Echad. So that's not actual unity, that's simply an alliance to accomplish a goal, and that is something that's very different. This pasuk also has the phrase here, Vayiru Ma'od Vayitzaku V'nei Yisrael El Hashem, that the Jews had great yira, and they cried out to God. There are some who suggest, there's a comment along these lines, the Sefer Lev Avram, that perhaps this reflects the fact that they were asking for Yiras Hashem because they were afraid. And this is similar to a story that said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik was once asked how it is that we teach children to have fear of heaven, to have Yiras Shemayim. Isn't that unhealthy to give them anxiety and neuroses? And the Rav responded that one fear takes away all the other fears, that one who has Yiras Shemayim doesn't have to be afraid of everything else. And perhaps that's what is being suggested here as well, that because they were indeed so afraid of what was in store for them, so therefore they prayed for Yiras Shemayim that would supersede all of that. Here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, there is a very well-known phrase. We're told, Vayomru El Moshe, the Jews said to Moshe, Hamibli and Kvarim b'Mitzrayim, what's the problem? There weren't enough graves in Egypt. L'kachtanu l'amus b'midbar, you brought us out here to die in the desert. And the Gemara Masachas Erchin seems to identify this as a chutzpahdik statement, because it says this is one of 10 nisyonos that our ancestors gave a Kadosh Baruch Hu, probably meaning in the sense that they tried his patience. So the Ramban comments that this is perhaps surprising, because we also understand that they were doing tshuva at this point and they were tzaddikim. So if this is a arrogant statement or a chutzpahdik statement, so how is that consistent with the idea that they were doing tshuva? So there are a number of approaches he gives. One is that maybe there were different groups. Some were doing tshuva and some were expressing themselves in a disrespectful way, which is the implication one gets also from the Targum Yonason, that it was just a certain less worthy people who were talking in this fashion. Another possibility is that this was said earlier, but now they were in a better place. Or another possibility is that, yes, indeed, they believed in Hashem, but it was Moshe who they were suspicious of. Or another possibility the Ramban has is that they first tried davening, but when they didn't get the answer that they wanted immediately, so then that turned negative. And that itself is a problem. And there are others who suggest that the prayers themselves were really insincere and just out of habit. There is a very fascinating comment of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, where he asserts that this statement, Hamabli in Kfarim B'Mitzrayim, is really meant to be a sarcastic statement. Essentially, it is a joke, basically. And the reason it was stated is because the Jews are nervous in this situation, and they cope with tense situations by developing a sense of humor. And this is what sociologists have long attributed to the Jewish people when noting the fact that Jews are so tremendously overrepresented in the field of comedy. It's been suggested that this is a response to persecution, and that's exactly what Rav Hirsch writes, that the Jews were coping through developing a sense of humor, and he adds that this is what Jews have done ever since. There's also an interesting comment of the Ksav Sofer, where he suggests that maybe on some level it actually was somewhat of a serious statement, because they saw that the bodies of Yosef and Yaakov were taken out of the country in order to be buried outside of Mitzrayim. So they thought that perhaps indeed that was the plan for them also, that they were being brought out just to be buried. And they still argued that since many of their other relatives were buried in Egypt, therefore it's not worth it just for that. And in the next pasuk, they continue to say, Ki tov lanu, that it was better for us, Avodas Mitzrayim, he was saying about Midbar, better we should work for Mitzrayim than die here in the desert. Apparently they did not believe in give me liberty or give me death, the ones who were saying this. The Malbim suggests that this is a continuation, that the previous pasuk they were saying, what's the point if we're going to die either way? And now they're saying, and in fact, we want to live. And that's their statement and their complaint at this point. So Moshe has a response here in Pasuk Gimel. V'yomer Moshe al am al tiro hisyatzavu uru es Yeshua Hashem asher yaseh lachem hayom ki asher yisem es Mitzrayim hayom lo sosifu lerosam od ad olam. And the Yerushalmi in Maseches Tainis in the second parak explains here that Moshe is a very effective communicator and that he is addressing four different groups. There were four different mindsets among the people, and there are four responses. That one is, there were those who wanted to just jump into the ocean. And to them, he said, Hisyatzavu, stand by, don't jump into the ocean. It's not the right way to think. There were some who wanted to just go back to Mitzrayim. So to them, he responded, Lo sosifu lerosam, no, you shouldn't go back to see them anymore. And then there was another two groups, those who wanted to fight and those who wanted to scream out to Hashem. So they are addressed in the next pasuk, in pasuk Yudalid, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight on your behalf. And v'atem tacharishon, you don't have to say anything, you can be quiet. So just to go back to this phrase, lo sosifu lerosam od ad olam, you're not going to see them anymore. It sounds like from Rashi that this was a havtacha, this was a promise, but the Mechilta has the language that this is essentially one of the three places that you see a mitzvah not to go back to Mitzrayim. There is a claim that the Rambam, when he lived in Mitzrayim, he used to sign his letters. Somebody who violates three lavin every day by living in Mitzrayim. So that's in accordance with this Mechilta, that this is one of the three places. And you find this also in the Yerushalmi and Sukkah that identifies it in that way, that there are three places not to return to Mitzrayim. Torah Tamima suggests that maybe it's both case, that it is a haftacha, but it's a mitzvah to make sure that the haftacha is fulfilled. So there is an extensive discussion how to relate to this iser. The Sefer Yireim understands that it's specifically a prohibition to go back on that path, as the pasuk in Dvarim indicates. The Ramban understands that you shouldn't learn from their ways. Rabbeinu Bachya over there in Dvarim understands that it's not a mitzvah ledoros. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes that it is an Issa L'Doros, but the Pri Chodesh still suggests that maybe that's not true anymore after there was a Bilbal Ha'umos, after Sancheiriv came and mixed up all the nations, so they don't have a national identity anymore. It's no longer true. The Rashbetz and the Zohar Arakia understands that it was only Usser when the Jews are settled in their land. There is apparently a contradiction here, or a seeming contradiction, in that here they are told they're not going to see the Mitzrayim anymore. But later on, in Parak Yudalid, so we find that Vayar Yisrael is Mitzrayim Esim Osfas Hayam, that they will see the Mitzrayim having died by the water. So the Ibn Ezra and the Zohar and others suggest that this claim that they're never going to see them again, that only applies when they're alive. And this has a nafgamina for someone who takes a shvua never to see somebody again, that this perhaps wouldn't apply if that person is no longer alive. And this is related to a story involving the Noda Behuda, who dealt with a situation where there were two brothers who unfortunately were in a fight with each other and one swore never to see the other one ever again. And then that brother sadly died. So the one who took the shvua wanted to come after he had died to come ask for a mechila. And the Noda Behuda said that that's beferish permitted, explicitly permitted by the Torah here, because you see from the contrast between these two psukim that even one who is committed never to seeing someone again, if that person is no longer alive, that doesn't count as seeing him, and therefore the brother can indeed come and ask for mechila. So this pasuk here, Hashem yilachem lachem, v'atem tacharishun, That idea that God will fight on your behalf and you shall be quiet. So it seems a little bit surprising, as the Amar al-Diskin notes, because this seems to be an Eis Tzara, a time of crisis, and everyone agrees that there is a mitzvah to daven under such circumstances. The Rambam was of the opinion that there is a mitzvah to daven every day, and the Ramban disagreed, and he said it's not a mitzvah necessarily every day, but it is a mitzvah in a time of crisis and emergency. So it would seem that they should indeed be praying at this point. In the Sefer Aruga Sabosa Malatora, he suggests that maybe it wasn't actually a Eis Tzara, based on the language of the Rambam and Hilchos Sefer Torah, that the whole point of the Yam Suf was to drown the Mitzrim, and it was therefore an onesh for them, not a Tzara for Bnei Yisrael. The Sefer Chavetzel Sasharim, these are contemporary Sfarim written by two brothers-in-law, the Aruga Sabosim and the Chavetzel Sasharim, he suggests that it's not an Eis Tzara if you know that you will be saved. These answers are different than what the Maharal Diskin himself said, that he thought maybe this was actually Bitmia, that maybe the point was that they should be davening. The Mechilta has a comment over here that it's not just now that God will fight on your behalf, but he will always fight your enemies. And the Meshech Chachma comments based on that, that the Jews could have claimed, okay, now you have to save us because you took us out of Mitzrayim and you exposed us. And the response to that is, well, it's not just now, but even in the future, when Tacharishun, when you're not going to have anything to say, I'm also going to fight for Bnei Yisrael. And the Lev Avram has a comment over here that this whole sequence is basically telling the Jews to understand that everything is for the best, and even this circumstance, which seems like it's a tremendous crisis, is really a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan to scare off the Mitzrim and to make a statement and to show that they should understand and the world should understand that God will always be there to fight on behalf of the Jewish people.